not made by great men. It's not made by great men.
KXRN LP
Laguna Niguel, Laguna Beach.
Member supported
KXFM
on 104.7.
KXFMradio.org.
It is straight up at 8 o'clock on the Mornings with Ed show. Delighted to have you as part of the Thursday edition of our program. Welcome. Today is, of course, as we've been talking the entire morning, it is Women's Equality Day. And I mentioned how it got started, that Representative Bella Abzug from New York in 1971 brought this to the floor, and it passed in 1973. And Congress designated today, August 26th, as Women's Equality Day, and it was selected to commemorate the 1920 certification of the 19th Amendment to the Constitution, granting women the right to vote. It was the culmination of a massive and peaceful civil rights movement by women that had its formal beginnings really back in 1848. And of course, now today, it's celebrated across the country with efforts toward full equality in workplaces, libraries, organizations, and public facilities. So we have two success stories with us today. The first one I'm going to tell you about here, you've met her before on the program, Julie Lawton, local Julie Lawton Design Build. Julie's a graduate of Iowa State University and completed her her bachelor's degree in interior design. After that, she moved to New York City, where she spent the beginning of her professional career working for two different architecture firms and serving as a senior designer for an interior design firm. She is an amazing success story that we'll be talking to here in just a moment. And I've been talking about the author Marie Cosgrove this morning. 12 years ago, Marie was a single mother of four kids when she was fired from a company called Balance Back because she made too much in commissions. And instead of becoming bitter and angry and vengeful, she started her own company and developed a different product. A couple of years after she was fired, she bought that Balance Back company back. The company that fired her is now hers. So we welcome this morning the author of Greater Fortune, Essential Lessons from the Entrepreneur Who Bought the Company That Fired Her, Marie Cosgrove. And Julie Lawton, welcome to the studio. Welcome to the station. Thank you, both of you, for being here.
Hi, Marie.
Thank you so much. Hi, Julie. I'm so excited to connect with you. You're amazing.
You are, too. And I kind of feel like we have a lot in common, and you're high energy like me. It's kind of a natural born thing and a natural born saleswoman, because I get that part.
Thank you.
Excellent. Marie, tell our listeners what happened. How did you go from being fired to the life that you lead right now? How did that happen?
Well, when I got fired, it was a shock to me. But I was surrounded by people that encouraged me, and I started a new company. They found out I was doing really, really well. So they called me and asked me if I would invest in the company. And I flew my accountant up to do a valuation. We looked at the numbers, and they were struggling, but there were some years that they did incredibly well. And he showed me the numbers. I said, wow, that's amazing. He says, wait a minute. You did the majority of the sales during those years. And I thought, oh, well, I don't want to invest. I want to buy the company. So after 6 months of negotiations, I purchased the majority of the shares in the company.
Wow. I want to go back to when you got fired, though, for making too much in commissions. What was the story with Balance Back at that point? What is Balance Back? What were they selling? And what product did you sell to compete with them?
So the product, Balance Back, is it's a very niche product. It helps doctors diagnose dizziness, central nervous system disorders such as concussion, traumatic brain injury, and it's used at hospitals, VA hospitals, our military uses it, and it's used internationally. So I was selling this product to physicians, and some of the owners, there were like over 10 different owners, and some of them felt that I did not have the educational qualifications to be making the kind of money I was making.
Oh my God.
Now get this, my commissions were less than what the males were getting, but I was selling more. So because as a result, my commission checks were much higher because they'd sell one or two, I'd sell four or five.
Right.
And they said, we can't be making these checks to you. You're making too much. You're not an engineer. You're not a doctor. You're not qualified to be making this kind of money. And initially, this conversation, I was very upset about it. I contacted another owner, and he said not to worry about it. I just put it aside. Several months later, I get called from one of the executives that wants to meet with me in Texas. I was selling in Texas. This company is out of Ohio. And I was excited because I was thinking, finally, they recognize my hard work and I am going to get a promotion or something. You know, that's what I was thinking, because he kept praising me. And during the lunch, he hands over a piece of paper and says, we're going to offer you salary. So I thought,
oh my God,
you know, maybe I'm going to get a really high VP position or something in the company with a good salary. And when I look at it, my heart sank because it was a lot less than what I was making just in a given month or two on commission.
You've been doing so well. Let's pay you less.
Exactly. Right. Let's pay you less. And I'm like, I can't do this. I'm a single mom with four kids. Dad lost parental rights. I have no child support. I have no one to fall back on. I am a product of rape, and I was born to a mentally disabled single mom. So I didn't have family to go back to help me, you know.
Right.
So financially, I was solely on my own. And when I expressed that, and I said, I'll stay with a compensation plan I have now. And they said, if you do that, you're fired. And
oh my
you can
God.
Just walk away right now.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
So,
that's insane.
Yeah. And so I lost everything. It went from, you know, I had struggled before to even get into that position to even get to sell. So now to start over with four kids, I was hurt. Obviously, you're going to feel hurt. But my grandfather taught me that vengeance is the Lord, you know, and never to be vengeful. But I was hurt. And,
right.
and people were telling me, you need to sue, you need to do this. And I said, I don't have time to sue. I don't have time to be bitter. I have four kids to support. I got to figure something out. And I had developed relationships with clinicians. So we started a new product that did not compete. It was a completely separate product because I didn't want to get entangled into any lawsuits or any of the sort. So I just started a different product in the healthcare field. And that's how that happened.
Excellent.
So then you bought the other product.
Right.
Yeah.
On top of that, the reason you were a single mother is you escaped an abusive relationship. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. It was domestic violence, and I was working. It sounds crazy because I was making good money, handling the marketing as a marketing director for a huge financial services company, which is now a Fortune 100 company. But I came home from a business trip early one day, and I saw that my kids had been beat. And it was so bad that I just grabbed them and left. And I shared a little bit about that in my book. And it's crazy because I left the house, I left everything, but I preferred safety. Just being safe, making sure my kids didn't get hurt. And I had to figure out a way where I could support myself and my four kids without ever having to rely on anyone or, you know, getting support from anyone. And I said, we're going to make it happen. And the only way I could think of to make it happen was to get a job in sales commission. And nobody would give me a job. In fact, this is funny because I'm speaking to you on the radio. I approached a radio station. They gave me a job. I said, but I want commission because I wanted my own hours. And they looked at me like I was crazy. And they said, we don't do that. We just pay salary. Then I don't want to be here 9 to 5. I have doctor's appointments to get to. I won't commission. And they're like, we don't do that structure. So I wanted something where I can create my own hours and have the time available to take care of my children and get them to their appointments, because two had really serious health conditions, autoimmune. So that required physical therapy, all kinds of medications and appointments and things of that nature.
So need is such a great motivator at times. And by the way, when I get crazy looks at the radio station constantly here, so I don't think they look at me crazy constantly. Julie, you coming up the ranks, I imagine the architecture firm that you, or the two firms that you had worked for, I imagine there was a lot of good old boy networking at the top, and maybe there was some discrimination that you faced that was similar. Do you have an incident that sticks with you as time has passed, or that still?
Well, I was born in 1962 and raised when it was still very obvious that women were not respected, but I had a very dominant a mother who was independent, so I had this mindset that nothing's going to get in my way, and I probably ignored it, what it was. So I worked for two architects, and they were good old boys, heavy duty, but I was in a pit of drafting people with all men, and they were kind of geeky and scared of me because I was high energy. So I was always left with the lesser taxed and the things they didn't want to do, so I knew I was kind of treated that way. But funny enough, my problems happened to me later in life with a boss that grabbed me in the office when his wife was actually in the office next door, and I physically was attacked at work. So I've had it all, I've heard it all, I've seen it all. And you know, I worked in the 80s in New York City, where I'm in the job site with construction guys who want to eat you up when you walk on the job site in heels and a skirt. It's almost dangerous. So it was interesting, but I have the mindset, born with the mindset, there's nothing I can't achieve, and stay on path. So, but I lived through it, yes. And I also had domestic violence in my personal life. And so it's been interesting because it just comes with the territory of being female. And thank God today it's much better, but it still exists. So it's funny.
Right. Marie, when is it time to seek help? Where do you go?
I think you need to seek help early on. And that was, you know, I didn't do that. I didn't seek help early on. I just did. And I think that is so important to seek help. Now, it can be hard. I can't imagine what you went through, Julie, but I sense that I can, mm-hmm. but it's different for everyone. And it's hard when you're a business owner or you're, you know, you own your own business, because where do you turn to when
you don't?
You're
isolated, yeah. And it's like you're in shock. So it takes a while because no one really wants to help you, and you still feel like a freak, and you're isolated because of the situation. So you really can't. No one consoles with you because it's like you have a bad disease. You know, they don't want to touch you, you know, if you talk about that. So that's the problem with it. Yeah, in the old days.
Exactly.
You're saying the old days. Do you think? I think it still happens today.
It happens today all the time. It's constant. It's constant. Yeah.
It is constant. Even today, I got a voice message from a competitor. They heard an interview that I did, and they said, "You should have never been born. You're a bastard child."
It's just like horrible things. So ridiculous. Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, there's no HR to turn to or anything like that. So it is important to get help, you know, counseling, and work through it and realize, you know what, that's their problem. That's not you. That's not who you are. And I've learned to develop this skill set where if someone says something derogatory towards me, I know it's on them. It's not on me.
Yes, you have to develop that.
And, mm-hmm. Right. And even though it's true, yes, I am a product of rape. Yeah, I guess technically, yes, I'm a bastard child, but it does not define who I am. Uh-huh. It does not devalue me either.
Nope.
I still have value. I still have worth. And so I have to stay focused on that, because you can easily get sidetracked mentally and emotionally if you allow that.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's a mindset, because everybody's born with that heavy burden of shame. If you remove shame from your life and you just realize that one hit from the guy of domestic violence, you get out that first day. There's no joking around. There's no dealing with it, you know, managing it. It's, you got to be gone. Because I used to work at a shelter, and we had to get to the point where we'd provide the safe place, and they'd gone through years of it to get them to step out the door. Took years. So, Yeah, it's got to be in the mindset. No more shame. Get rid of the shame.
Or even if there's harassment in the workplace, it needs to be reported right away.
Because they're just digging the hole, and every time they do it, the hole gets deeper, and they get the wedge in your brain.
Exactly. If you're just joining us, we're talking to author Marie Cosgrove. She's the author of Greater Fortune, Essential Lessons from the Entrepreneur Who Bought the Company That Fired Her, and Julie Lawton, Successful Entrepreneur with Julie Lawton Design Build. We are, in fact, standing in the Julie Lawton studios.
Yay.
Here at the radio station. Beautiful job designing and wonderful work that she does. So, Marie, one of the chapters that I found fascinating was important things to remember when standing up for yourself. What are some of those?
Oh, well, some of the things that you should do when standing up for yourself is definitely remember that you have value. And I'm not quoting directly from the book right now.
Right.
But I'm thinking of things right now on top of my head is that, you know, sometimes you do have to stand up for yourself because sometimes nobody else will.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to remember that you do have value, you do have worth. And many times, I mean, in the domestic violence situation, I'm going to go back to that really quick.
Sure.
One of the things that was always thrown in my face was, who would want you? Your mom's crazy, you know.
Yeah.
You're a product of rape. You don't have a dad. You're lucky, and just like all of this brainwashing,
mm-hmm.
and you tend to think, well, maybe I don't have value. Maybe I don't have any worth. And I share more in my book and more tips on that. And there's guides and lessons throughout that book. But one of the most important things to remember is that, you know, where are you in a safe space right now? Where are you right now? And if you're not, you need to get help right away. If you've been hit, it will happen again and again and again, because that's what happened to me. I mean, it took me 3 kids from my first domestic violence relationship to get out of that, because, you know, the thing that happens is when you're abused and then they come back and they manipulate you, and they're so nice, beyond nice, and
mm-hmm.
you think, oh, they've changed.
Right.
And then, boom, it happens again.
And
then it happens to... Mm-hmm, go ahead.
And what happens is it's a cycle, but the funny thing I learned, which is really a bonus for all women out there, is that the losers that know how to manipulate you pick you because you're strong. They pick you on purpose. So they pick successful, strong women that are confident, and then they try to brainwash you. So that's the silver lining in this, because they wouldn't be with you if they didn't know you were something.
Wow, that's a powerful.
It is,
yes,
because if you look at it, they need you to survive. They feed off of you like a parasite.
Very good, Julie. So, Marie,
how do you
turn your weakness into a superpower then?
So, what I did is, say, for example, in sales, I was told I would not be able to make it because I could not take the doctors out to dinner at a strip club or lunch at a strip club or fishing or hunting. And I said, I don't want to do those things and I don't have to. What I realized is I am very unassuming. And when the doctor saw me coming, they just thought, you know, what harm can she do? Right. So they dropped all the walls, and before they knew it, they're signing a contract. Whereas with a male, they know they're being sold to. They put up this wall, and the guy has to take him out to dinner and has to invest all of this extra money in entertaining their client to get the sale. And so I used what they said was my weakness of being a female, not being able to take them out. I used that as my strength. And a lot of times we're told, you know, your weaknesses are going to hurt you. They're going to hurt you. But also, like you said earlier, that need can be a great motivator.
Yeah.
And for me, I was thinking of my kids. I'm going to take care of my kids and I'm going to make this happen. And I took advantage of that because I recognized it when I would walk in and the doctors, they didn't really, like, they weren't really paying attention because they thought I was like the secretary. If I went in with one of my employees, even after I bought the company, they thought I was doing my internship. So I recognized that, and I thought, you know, they don't see me coming.
Yep.
And boom,
exactly.
I made the sale.
Right.
And so women need to recognize that your weakness may not actually be a weakness. It can actually be a strength. So when women ask me, how do I compete against a man? You don't compete against a man. You compete against yourself. Yeah. And even for men, this is true. Don't compete against others. Compete against yourself. And this is true for businesses as well. When you're busy competing against somebody else, you end up tearing that other person down and making yourself look like a fool. Instead, when you compete against yourself, you're trying to make yourself better. You're bettering your company, your organization, yourself, and you're always improving. Now, there's nothing wrong with knowing what the competition is doing, but I don't recommend ever tearing somebody down or competing against them in that way.
Right. Now, something I've noticed from both of you in your book, Marie, and in our conversations, Julie, is that both of you have taken big, bold, daring risks and many points of your lives. And I think my question really, and maybe Marie, you can answer this, is can someone who lives paycheck to paycheck, let's say a single mother of four who lives paycheck to paycheck, can she afford to take risks like that?
I would say yes, she can, if she budgets carefully and manages things carefully. I wouldn't just go out on a limb and risk, you know, losing everything and being homeless. Now, I had to, for safety reasons, I had to get myself out. So that was a completely different situation. Now, if you're in that situation, then there's nowhere else you can go but up, right?
Right.
So that's the way I look at it.
That's a good point, because that's the thing, because you don't really have a choice. And the only good can happen after you get out of bad. So,
yep, absolutely. And so once you're on the floor, I mean, the only thing you can do is get up. And
that was
where I was. Yeah, that's where I was. But if you are a single mom, you're living paycheck to paycheck, you're going to have to take risks if you want to have huge, massive success. There's no other way. And so you have to look at the consequences. You know, what's the worst that can happen if I don't make it? So have a safety net. That's what I told my daughter who started a business. I said, make sure you have 6 months saved
yes,
up
that would be nice.
To make sure
yes.
to get, yeah. And so she did that before she jumped in and started her own business so that she didn't put her family at risk financially and making sure my granddaughter was taken care of. So those are the things to consider, but absolutely, you have to be bold. You have to be willing to take risks. And I know that it's challenging. I have a friend of mine who worked with me in financial services, human resources, and during 2020, she had 20 years of experience with the same organization. They let her go during COVID. And I said, you have so much experience. Why don't you do consulting for HR? But she was afraid. And I said, what are you afraid of? You don't have a job right now.
Yeah, exactly.
So she did it, and she's doing well now. She's got 4 or 5 clients making 3 times more than what she was making
amazing.
On her salary.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Excellent. I'll ask you both the same question here. Marie, what's next in the coming year, 3 years for you?
So I'm going to continue building Balance Back and coming up with products and developments that are going to help patients in concussion, specifically traumatic brain injury and central nervous system disorders. And I'm passionate about that because of my mother. You know, my mother had the treatment. The reason she was mentally disabled, I didn't say that early on, was because she was in a car accident that left her permanently brain damaged. And it was during her recovery that she was raped. And that ended up in my birth. But she was given pharmacological treatment, and she was given all kinds of treatments that actually made it worse.
Oh.
So she lived with permanent brain damage her entire life.
Oh, wow.
And if she had the treatments we have today, I think she would have, I would have been able to have known her as she was prior to her accident. And that's what drives me. And I'm passionate about
Beautiful.
That, helping others. And nothing makes me happier than when a doctor calls me and they say, oh, this patient, they were in a car accident, or they had a brain injury, and they're doing well. They're off of medications now. And it's just amazing. And so that's where I see myself, God willing.
Okay. And Julie, what's the next year to 3 years look like for you? Do you think that far in advance, or are you day to day?
Of course, I learned to plan and set goals from my grandmother, and from birth, that's what it's all about. And it gets tough. Plan every second, plan every day, and then of course plan your 1 year, your 5 year, your 10 year. So it's automatic for me, goal setting. And my thing is just I'm a female in a general contractor world, so I'm very rare. So my thing is to spread the word as I get larger in business. And I have a book coming out as well, but I want to spread this word and tell the stories, because people just don't think it's possible, and they all get shut in a box and the lid closed. So especially when you want to enter a career in construction, this career is a bountiful situation for women to come into, because project management, number one, is, wow, we're kind of better at it. So the point is, I will just continue to spread the word and shine the light and set the example, because, again, I'm in a niche of construction, and being the contractor, it makes the hugest statement, because I did it, and it wasn't difficult. It was actually fun, but I've been through the hardest challenges. I can basically tell you that every day is a challenge, and it still is, but I'm used to it. And to me, there's no walls. There's only stepping stones to success. And that's how I see life. And I don't hurt anybody. I have a positive attitude. I'm competitive with myself. It's constant. And it's always the stepping stones. I'm constantly striving to do better, always. And
you mentioned your grandmother.
Oh, my grandmother. My last name is my great-grandmother's maiden name. She was born in the 1890s, and she had my grandpa in 1912, and it was a weird situation where she met the guy next door, the farm next door, and he was already engaged. So he moved to California because he had to get out of town, and worked with Fatty Arbuckle in the Hollywood way back when. But she stayed single and raised my grandfather, and she was a school teacher, and she was very comfortable in her life up until her 80s. But my last name, I'm very proud, it's my grandmother's maiden name, and she was a forerunner back then. Think about it, 1912, decided to stay single mom. She could have possibly married someone. Of course, it would be automatically assume you would, but she chose to stay single. So I'm very happy to keep my maiden name.
And she was among the first to vote in 19...
Yes.
When the 19th Amendment was passed.
There's a picture of her in 1915 in a man's suit. She's joking around, but she did that for a reason, because maybe she realized the equality thing was unjust back then.
Right. So I guess a question for both of you here as well. We've got Womankind Worldwide, UN Women, Association for Women's Rights and Development, and Center for Reproductive Rights. There's a lot of organizations. Are there any particular women's advocacy groups that either of you support?
Marie?
I support an organization called lovemissions.net, and the proceeds to my book, a portion of the proceeds go to lovemissions.net. A friend of mine, she was human trafficked when she was 4 years old, and by her own mother. She was sold for like $25 to a man, and she was rescued when she was older. She started her organization. And the police, they call her when they have victims of human trafficking, or they'll call her 800 number. And she has a cafe called Palette Cafe, an ice cream shop, where they go through training for entrepreneurship or business skills. She has a life center. She provides housing, even for some of these victims have kids. And that is what I support, because there are males that are human trafficked for sex as well, but they're primarily females. And I wholeheartedly support that organization right now. And there are a lot of organizations out there for women, Women Together. It is an organization for domestic violence. So that is an amazing organization that I support as well. But right now, the proceeds for my book, that is where they're going, to lovemissions.net.
Beautiful. Fantastic.
I am as busy supporting the community, and anything that women do, I support, as far as young girls and leadership. And when my book is done, I will pick a charity, most likely in the domestic violence arena, since it's so related to everything that happens to women today in home and in business, technically. So, but my thing is to push positive energy towards all young females and set the example. So I'm busy, you know, spreading the word.
Beautiful, beautiful.
That's awesome.
I'd love to see a Julie Lawton mentoring program where young girls can come up and become the next Julie Lawton.
Oh yeah,
that'd be awesome.
It's easy to do if you just have the right mindset.
Julie Lawton, Julie Lawton Design Build. Marie Cosgrove, author of Greater Fortune, Essential Lessons from the Entrepreneur Who Bought the Company That Fired Her. I can't thank you both enough for coming in on Women's Equality Day, a perfect day to have this conversation. Thank you to both of you for being on the program.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Marie, keep in touch. Call me on my cell phone.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you both so much. It's The Mornings with Ed Show. Thanks.